I traveled alone upon this lonesome way. My burdens were heavy, and dark was my day. I looked for a friend, not knowing that he had all of the time been looking for me. Now it is Jesus and me, for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me. The road may be long to heaven's pearly gate. I know that it's narrow, I know that it's straight, but Jesus is there through eternity. We'll travel along, just Jesus and me. Forever I'll sing of his great love to me. Forever I'll tell it on land and on sea. I'll stay by his side, contented I'll be. For all of my life, it's Jesus and me. Now it is Jesus and me, for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Quartet. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Luke 22. How many of y'all saw this past week, Tuesday morning it was, Fox News had interviewed the Benham brothers, David and Jason Benham. They were going to be having a HGTV reality TV show there called Flip It Forward. Now HGTV has canceled their program there because of their Christian stand and some of the things that they had said against the LGBT crowd. They explained to the HGTV concerning the context of which that happened. It was in a church, and it was before the election about 2 years ago there, before back in the fall, a little over 2 years ago. They explained the purpose of the statement there was to encourage the church to be the the light and the salt that they should be in the world of darkness in which we live, and in that context had mentioned some of the sins, and homosexuality was one of them. And because of that, they got canceled, which was a great, I guess, a hurt to them, not only financially of what they lost, but just as they had a heart desire, a goal that to do that, and what it would afford them. But I shared a little bit about this Wednesday night, and I did not get to share the video. I wanted to share it, even though I'm not sharing the same message as I did Wednesday night from it. It is out of a similar passage there and some different things that the Lord has laid upon my heart. But I want you to see the video here first. So we're going to do that first, and then that'll be a way of introduction into the message. So I think the lights will be okay.
Well, HGTV booted the Benham brothers off the air for their views on traditional marriage, but they say that God called on them to do a job, and they're not backing down. Joining us now, authors of Whatever the Cost, Facing Your Fears, Dying to Your Dreams, and Living Powerfully, brothers David and Jason Benham. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Someone said you suffered a great loss, really, for sticking by your beliefs. Worth it in the end?
Oh, absolutely. And we're the first people that would say the persecution that we experienced is nothing compared to the persecution that Christians are experiencing all over the world. This was more like pressure. And although we did experience a loss, it's always worth it in the end. When you're willing to let go of what's in your hand, then God can give you what's in His.
But it had to be hard at first, I imagine, to really surrender that.
Well, that's why we say in our book, Die to Your Dreams. I mean, this whole HGTV platform, we were really excited about getting on the show and showing our family. And I've got 5 kids. He only has 4. But we were really
Big
excited.
Big brother's always big.
I take that long. We were excited about the platform. So when it was taken, it was difficult.
So tell the audience, if you're not familiar, you put together a series on HGTV. It was taped. It was filmed, ready to go. But you had made some comments that they had heard about years prior that they had heard about, not on tape, but in your private life, and they pulled the series.
In the context of a prayer service the night before the Democratic National Convention in 2012, we called the church to repentance. And a lot of the moral ills and the spiritual decline in our country is directly a result of the church not being salt and light in the culture. And so we prayed and asked God to forgive our nation and ourselves for the sins that are in our nation. In that context, Right Wing Watch wrote an article and really created a narrative that made Jason and I out to be hate-filled bigot and extremists.
But here you are with this, you know, the launch of a successful program, right, and business, and an opportunity to make some cash. And when confronted with HGTV and those that didn't support your beliefs, you could have denied your beliefs or decided to hide them or say you had some sort of conversion, a change of heart. Did you think about that at all? Was there a time you thought, you know what, we should just keep our beliefs to ourselves and continue in business?
Well, I tell everybody that the secret to courage is first recognizing your inner coward and then letting the spirit of the Almighty God come in and unleash your inner lion. We went through several situations where we thought maybe we should be quiet, maybe we should. And that was stuff for us. That was what we call a Peter moment when Peter denied Jesus. But we got through that. And then we were able to stand strong. And we only give God the credit because He's an idiot.
I had a question, but I want you to respond to that first, brother.
Yeah, we were scared. I mean, we genuinely were scared. But, you know, it's at that moment that we understood when Jesus, just before He went to the cross, and He said, Lord, if you can take this cup from me, so be it, but your will be done. We experienced that your will be done moment. You know what? We are not going to deny our faith. And if our faith cost us a reality show, so be it.
But it also could ended up costing you some sort of income there for a while, and your dads who were just trying to support your family, it's your entire family that was really with you willing to suffer the brunt of this.
Right, and that's in our book we talk about how we got through that, so we share a lot of principles about that, but anything that you let go for your faith is definitely worth it.
Why don't you stick around? Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be with us when we come back after.
Awesome. Venoms were just talking about their family. There are your better halves right there, guys.
Gorgeous.
That's right.
Wife. My goodness.
That's right.
And 9 kids between you.
And the guys from HGTV loved your wives, right?
They absolutely did. That's one of the things that I think America's going to miss the most. They didn't even realize our wives were phenomenal.
Oh, they were
going
to steal the show.
You guys were a package deal.
That's right. Sure are.
You guys are an inspiration to so many people out there watching right now. Great job, folks.
Whatever the cost is, the book, The Venom Brothers.
Anyway, you get a little bit of a gist of some of the things in which they face there. They shared, and certainly it took courage to stand where they did and to maintain their faith and their stand on their faith. It also that they spoke about the temptation there to back off and to be silent. And that's one of the things I brought up Wednesday night here with our group, that sometimes we may look at denying our Lord, and they called it a Peter moment, and we think, well, I would never deny knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, but you know, sometimes we can deny Him just by keeping our mouth shut. There are times in which we do need to speak up, and we need to share, and being a witness for Jesus Christ is not always just living a life for others to see. There comes a point where you've got to open your mouth and speak, because faith comes by hearing, and specifically hearing the Word of God. And so it's important to do that and to understand some of the fears that we naturally have when we take a stand for our faith there. As I mentioned, I shared a little bit about this, but I wanted to expound on this passage here in Luke 22. that deals with this. And let's pray, ask God's blessing as we look this morning. Father, I pray that you would give me strength of body, a voice to be able to share the message you've laid upon my heart. I pray that it would be that which would speak to us, and as you, through your Spirit, would indicate to us exactly what we need and what we may be going through in any temptation. Lord, that through it all, you would be glorified this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I want us to see here in this little passage, and we'll look in verses 31 through 34. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." We understand, and I'm sure you probably heard messages from this passage and from this situation in Peter's life. But this morning, I want us to see three things, three points in this message that I'll bring out. There's going to be Satan's plan. I want us to see Simon's pride. And then I want us to see the Savior's prayer. These three things, I believe, will help us to understand the message this morning. First of all, in verse 31 there, it says there that Jesus said, "Simon, behold, Satan hath the desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Satan's plan is a real plan because it's a real person. The devil is real. Satan is real. Lucifer was his original name. As one of God's created angels, he's failed because of his sin of pride. And with him, he took one-third of the angels of God and convinced them to follow him in his rebellion. And that is the devil and his demons today that we know of in the spiritual realm. There are demons present right now in this room here with us. Thank God also there are his holy angels that are present right here as well. And we have the Spirit of God that is present right here with us today. And so greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we can pray that God would hinder Satan from having his way. But understand, he has a way. He has a plan, and it is a real plan. His desire, his goal there is for our ruin. It's a real plan, and it's to ruin us. We're told by Peter later on in 1 Peter 5:8, that our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan wants in his plan there to devour you. Here Jesus said to sift you like wheat. Not sure if you understand the analogy there, but on a winnowing wheat there, the process would be as they would gather the wheat, there would be a lot of chaff with it, and they would come up to a high place, would be the winnowing area, and they would take through instruments and throw the wheat with the chaff up in the air, and the wind would blow the lighter chaff away, and the wheat would fall down. And as they would do that and continue to do that, the wind would take away all of the unwanted parts there of the wheat. Well, that's what Jesus was saying there to Peter, is Satan wants to sift you like he wants to blow you away. He wants to devour you. He wants to destroy you. God's will for our life is to make us better. Satan's will is to blow us away. You remember Job and the story of Job there in Scripture that God gives us, the account there of how that Job was following the Lord faithfully. And Satan said pretty much, the only reason he's doing it is you're so good to him. You let me have him for a little bit and I'll show you what he's really like. God said, you can do anything you want to, but don't take his life. He limited him there. So we have Job there, and what had happened? In all that Satan did, Job followed the Lord still. And we read there in Job 42 and verse 12, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning." Do you know, in Job's life, even though Satan came in with a plan, his goal was to blow Job away, to devour Job. And God allowed those trials, which were, I doubt any of us could ever say we've ever been through anything like Job did. And yet, through it all, God on the other side blessed Job more than when he had, before he had ever gone through that. God's plan is always for our betterment. Satan's plan is to blow us away. Joseph was another example of that. And you remember of all his brothers did to him and how that he was sold into slavery into Egypt and he was lied about by Potiphar's wife. He was forgotten in prison. And there, finally, God promoted him there to second in command over Egypt. And he did so for the reason of taking care of the Jews, of Jacob and his children and his family. And so here we have Joseph making the statement in Genesis 50:20, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And God does. He has our best in mind, but Satan wants to ruin us. But as I mentioned with Job there, Satan is restricted in his plan. He can only do so much, and so it is with us and the temptations that Satan and his demons bring into our lives. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted." That is, he will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. In other words, God says that there's not a believer that has ever lived that has had a temptation from the devil or his demons that has ever been so much that they could not say no to the temptation. God has always made it possible for us to stand against temptation. There is the way of escape. God has limited Satan's temptations so that they're not more than we could bear. So Satan's plan, it's real, it's for our ruin, but it's restricted by God. Then we see Simon's pride in verse 33. He said, "Lord, I'll go to prison. I'll even die for you, with you." And I believe, I don't know how you feel about it, but I believe that Simon Peter was certainly a courageous man. I believe that he was sincere in his statement there. He believed at that point that he would do anything for the Lord. He would even give of his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the night would not pass before he would deny the Lord, even knowing him three different times before the evening was up. I cannot imagine what he was going through with that. But I want you to understand that Simon was sincere. There are people today that are sincere about what they believe. They just believe the wrong thing. Their faith is in the wrong person or thing. If our faith is not in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not in that which counts for anything eternity-wise. And so it's important to understand that we should put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though Peter sincerely believed that he would never be offended, that he would never fail in his courage, it's possible for us, even in the area that we think that we're the strongest, it's possible for us to fail in that area. Peter did that and would never have guessed it would have been true. And each one of us today, we have our own strengths. We have our own areas that we may look at and say, you know, I've got a handle on that. Well, there's a verse of Scripture that speaks to us about that in 1 Corinthians 10:12. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." It doesn't matter how strong we may be in any given area, it's possible for us to fail in that area. Abraham's greatest strength was his faith, and yet his faith failed in Egypt, as he told his wife to say that she was his sister. And it is those things that we see, even though Simon was sincere in what he felt, in his confidence there, he soon failed in that very area of strength. Simon also was self-confident. You know, the world teaches today that people, that we ought to be self-confident. But that's not what God says. Psalm 118, verse 8 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And not just any man, how about yourself? In Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, your own self. Don't even trust yourself. Before I've told you that with our kids, it's not that I did not trust our kids when we were raising them up, but it was I didn't trust our kids. Now, I did not trust their flesh. It's just like my flesh. I can't trust my flesh. And so we have to be careful to understand that we're all human beings. We're all susceptible to temptation. And there comes a time in which we need to recognize the plan of Satan is to ruin us and that we have a capability of failing even in our strongest of areas. And we need not to be self-confident. We must be God-confident. And that's the key. Jim Shetler was the pastor there of the campus church at Pensacola Christian College for a while there. And he made the statement, he says, God works on the individual to become inadequate so God can do the incredible with the insignificant. Do you understand that? God works on us, on me, so that I would be and recognize that I am inadequate, that I must rely upon Him. And when I do, then He can do the incredible with the insignificant. John the Baptist put it this way, He must increase, but I must decrease. And it's when we decrease of our self-confidence and we lean upon our God for confidence that we can have His power in us to do that which is beyond explanation. And He will do it, and it will be for His glory that is there. God warns us in Proverbs 16:18 that pride goeth before destruction. Satan's plan was for Simon's destruction, and Simon's pride played right into his hand. It helped there. It submitted himself to that plan. But in between those two verses, we see the Savior's prayer. There in verse 32, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Aren't you glad that Jesus prays for us today? There are two things that I want you to see of what Jesus prayed for. The first one is that He prayed for Simon's faith, that thy faith fail not. Faith means our trusting in God, our dependence there upon God, but it also carries the idea of faithfulness, consistency, and dependability. That night, certainly, both parts, both aspects of that term failed in Peter as he did not follow the Lord. He was not consistent in his following of the Lord either. But understand the importance of faith. Peter later wrote in 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. It is that precious faith that we need to understand. And in 1 Peter 5:9, just after he said that the devil's that roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, he says in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. It is the faith that we need. Faith is so important in our lives. And it's just not blind faith, but as I said earlier, it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God Himself. That is where we must place our faith. That's when faith stands. And we must stand upon our faith at whatever the cost. You may fail in finances. You may fail in fitness. You may fail even with your friends. But don't fail when it comes to faith. We need, and it's so important, to have it. God even takes the work of Satan, that what he tries to do, and he can bring it and turn it for our glory. That is true because notice what Jesus prayed for. He prayed for his faith, not for the taking away of the sifting. You know, sometimes God can remove the trial from our life, many times God prays for us through that trial, that we would understand and lean upon Him and find that His grace is sufficient. For when we are weak, then He can be seen as strong in our lives. He didn't pray not to be sifted, but that our faith would not fail through the sifting. God can take that trial and even use it for His glory. Satan was trying to blow away Satan, but God was trying to blow away the chaff with the things in Peter's life there that didn't need to be there. And that is so important to make him better. The same wind, the same trials that can blow us away can make us better if by faith we are leaning upon the Lord and we're trusting Him. It's the tree that stands in the wind whose roots grow the deepest. And God knows that through the adversity of trial in our life, that He can make us better for Him, stronger and deeper in our faith to trust Him. He prayed for Simon's faith. Secondly, He prayed for Simon's future. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren, He said. The word converted there has nothing to do with salvation, but it means to be turned around. When Peter blew it, I'm sure he didn't feel too much like a disciple anymore. Matter of fact, if others would have said, aren't you one of his disciples then? He says, I used to be, but I don't feel much like it now, I'm sure. He knew that he had blown it. He knew that when the Lord turned and his eyes caught, he knew the failure. And I'm sure that Peter didn't feel like he was accepted of the Lord much anymore, that the Lord wanted him for service anymore. But you remember after the resurrection there, when the angel appeared unto the women, that he said there, I'm going into Galilee, tell my disciples that I will meet them there and tell Peter. Because I don't think Peter would have gone if the Lord had not specifically mentioned him. Peter had failed, but God saw a future. He wanted, and he knew Peter's confession unto him and his repentance and when he was turned there, that he would become an instrument that could be used again. When we blow it spiritually and we fail in our faith, or we sin in some way, we too can be forgiven of God. 1 John 1:9, when we confess it genuinely and repent of it, God will forgive. Jeremiah 18:4 says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again. You know, God is the potter, we're the clay. And sometimes we mess up the clay ourselves, but the potter is willing to work on that clay continually and make it again. In Jonah's life, David mentioned a little bit of this morning, but if you remember in the prophet Jonah, as God commanded him to go to Nineveh and to preach into that ungodly city, and he didn't want for them to hear the truth. He didn't want for them to hear that they needed to repent. And so he ran from God, ended up there in a great fish that God had created, swallowed him. And after 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, it says there in Jonah 2:7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came. He turned unto the Lord. He was converted, you may say. He turned unto the Lord. He prayed unto Him, and I believe that prayer would have been a confession. I was wrong. I should have gone. And God delivered him there. And then we read in chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Aren't you glad that we have a God of second chances? Now, Jonah, like John Mark in the New Testament, was given a second chance and was found to be faithful. Even though Jonah still struggled with his feelings about it, he did what the Lord had said. And John Mark, a great example of that as well. If God has given you a new start, and that's the title of the message today, a new start, then don't waste it. Don't let it go by the side. We all have an enemy without. It is Satan. He's trying to blow us away. We have an enemy within. It's that self-confidence that can creep up in our life. And our self can do so much. it plays right into Satan's trap. But what we need is to recognize our enemy. We need to recognize and deny our self-confidence. God says we're to deny ourselves, and that's what I believe he's speaking of there. When we allow self to rise up and take the place and we rely upon ourselves instead of the Lord, that is, we're not denying self at that point. And we need to call, we need to rely on our Lord for help. Thank God that we have the Lord who ever liveth to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. Christians, could I say then, have you blown it today at all? Has your faith failed? Is there sin that has creeped in? Has self creeped up in your life? And you've not been relying upon the Lord, but you've been trying to live the Christian life in your strength? Even in areas where you feel like that you've got it mastered, it's in those areas that God says, don't have self-confidence, but rely upon me. There's good news that God, even when we have blown it, can forgive and restore. We sing a hymn, number 329, sometimes, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. The first verse is, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord, Grace That Exceeds Our Sin and Our Guilt. The ending part of the course is, Grace, Grace, God's Grace, Grace That Is Greater Than All Our Sin. It is God's mercy that is so willing to forgive, and it's God's grace that is there to extend unto us that new start that we could have. And that is what God offers when we blow it, when we have missed. We need to turn to God for His mercy and forgiveness and His grace for the new start. Maybe I speak to just a moment here to anyone here today that maybe does not know the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior. What I mean by that is you made a choice to receive what Jesus Christ did on Calvary to be your payment of sin. Maybe nobody's ever told you about that before. Maybe you've had some ideas that you've always believed in God, but there needs to come a point in your life, a time, and when you realize that unless you call upon the name of the Lord, unless you make that choice, you've not received Him. The third verse of that song reads like this, Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You know, isn't it wonderful to know that God's salvation, God's grace, and salvation is by the grace of God through faith. It is that marvelous grace that is open to whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, whoever will believe. And all who are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Make that choice to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And that is John 1:12, and that is the truth of how we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's not by any works that we do. It's not by trying to do the best we can. It's not by getting wet in a pool back here at baptism. It's not by giving our money unto the church. It's not by doing any of these things, because Jesus Christ has done it all. He has finished everything that was necessary on Calvary's cross to pay for our sin, that we could have the forgiveness and we could have that new start that He wants to give in our life. Have you trusted Him today? Every head bow, please. Christian, as I mentioned just a moment ago, if you have blown it, there's good news. God will forgive. God will give you a new start. But we need to take advantage of that. Don't neglect it. Don't in any way allow that to be wasted as God offers. And then a person that is here that may not know the Lord yet, can I encourage you to say that the greatest decision that you could ever make in your life is to make the choice to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It doesn't matter how long you have believed about God, how long you have known about God. Salvation comes as we come to know Him personally. And that comes as we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Have you done it today? If not, I'd like to have someone speak to you before you leave. Father, I pray that as we look into this time of closing, that you would take these things that you have spoken to our heart about, that we have understood of your Scripture. And I pray that we would realize the danger of the devil and his demons to devour us, and that we would lean not upon our confidence, but, Lord, upon yours, what your strength could do in our lives. And as we have blown it, may we turn to you in prayer and confess our sins and receive your forgiveness. And, Lord, by your gracious new start, step out to follow you faithfully. Lord, I pray that each one of us, that would be true this morning. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.